I want to welcome back to the show Mr. John Jones. He is a prop tech specialist, real estate executive extraordinaire, and today we're going to have a conversation primarily focused around artificial intelligence and
real estate. Great to be with you, Dustin. Happy to talk with you today, and always great to have a conversation.
So let's just jump right in, because AI is the big word. It's the big topic. And I know that you've been deeply involved in a lot of the happenings of the recent with AI. So could you just give me a high level of things that you're seeing in the industry and how AI is involved?
Sure. Great question. Number one, it's always helpful to start with the definition. The definition of artificial intelligence is the science of making machines that can think like humans. And there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of buzz when it comes to the issue of AI today. But the question many people are asking, and the thing is, the problem, the most important, is how will it affect me? How will it impact my job? How will it impact the intersection of real estate and technology going forward? And it's very important to look at everyday scenarios and situations. So the idea that AI is going to replace everybody job is just completely wrong. Artificial intelligence will eliminate certain jobs and certain revenue streams within the realm of real estate. Additionally, artificial intelligence will create new jobs and new revenue streams within the realm of real estate. It's a matter of identifying which ones are here right now that will not be in the future, and the ones that will be in the future. And in the beginning stages, in the early stages, we will expect and do expect that the biggest impact will be within the realm of processing and jobs that rely on transactions. And so right now, more so than real estate, we're seeing that in the financial services space, again, mentioned processing, and we're seeing it within the realm of healthcare as well. Within real estate, we could see artificial intelligence impacting many different buckets, many different subsectors. When we talk about real estate, sometimes people follow it, tend to look at real estate as one monolithic industry, which is just not true. It's an industry with many different subsectors. And all of these different subsectors are moving at different speeds, and investors are constantly trying to identify which subsectors are the most promising. I mean, you mentioned the subsectors. We're talking about housing, warehouses, cell towers, data centers, hotel and lodging, student housing. And all of these different subsectors will be impacted by artificial intelligence. When we look at the issue of design, architectural design, that would be impacted by AI. Sustainability. When you look at how artificial intelligence is going to impact, in particular, how cost savings, energy efficiency can be greatly realized or put in a better position to accomplish goals with the help of artificial intelligence and machine learning, to identify where cost savings can actually happen, where energy saving can actually take place. So it's a really exciting time within the realm of real estate when we look at how artificial intelligence will impact the entire industry, and it's going to impact it and the different subsectors in so many ways.
One of the things that I know personally, and I'm sure you're very well aware of, is that the real estate industry has been very slow to adopt changes. And although there are a lot of subsectors, there's a lot of different variables in real estate in general. Do you see AI and artificial intelligence moving faster with commercial real estate because of the impact on the cost savings? Or is there anything to lead you believe that,
really important
that real estate, in my world, commercial real estate,
should not that lose sight of?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that, like, is this something that technology, I'm always looking at how to make things better, how to make things faster, how to make things more efficient. But real estate has been slow to adopt some new technologies. Do you think that's different with artificial intelligence?
The most important thing people have to understand, and you get this, of course, when it comes to real estate. Real estate is not like other industries historically where they jump on the fads and they jump on the trends. What the best real estate professionals do is they identify the major trends and patterns in the market insofar as what and how people are working, shopping, traveling, playing, living, and consuming information. And if you look at those type of activities and you look at the major trends and patterns in the market, this is demonstrating a tremendous reliance on digital real estate. When people are working from home, they're also on computers, they're sending email, they're sending photos, text messages, they're on virtual meetings. All of that information has to be stored, and it's stored in data centers. That's real estate. When they're buying things online and buying products online via e-commerce, that's impacting warehouses. And when you look at all the connectivity that has to take place, that's happening via cell towers and broadband infrastructure. So that's real estate, and all of that many ways intersects with artificial intelligence, machine learning, data, and analytics. Going forward, when looking at how AI will impact real estate, will it be quick? Well, leaders in the industry are going to look back and see, what, again, major trends and patterns are happening. So what is something that we can compare to this? We can look at what happened in retail in the early 2000s, or maybe 10 to 15 years ago. Many people thought with the rise of e-commerce that this would just completely devastate retail. And the facts don't lie. Real estate is the comeback kid. Right now, occupancy for real estate is at the highest levels on record. Vacancy rates for retail real estate is 5% right now. These are record numbers. And what the leaders in real estate do 10 to 15 years ago with the rise of e-commerce, they made adjustments to their framework, and they determined what would be most useful in today's information society, today's information economy. And 84% of all retail commerce is still handled within brick and mortar environments. And so what these leaders in retail did 10 to 15 years ago, with the rise of technology, they found ways to fuse it into their and integrate it into their framework. And those that made those adjustments were able to be successful. Those that didn't transitioned out of the focus of investors. Within real estate, the change is not going to be quick. Real estate culturally is a very safe, conservative, culturally conservative environment. Right. And when you have that type of background and setting, you have to make changes. Again, you have to make decisions that are more reflective of the major trends and patterns that are happening in the market, insofar as, again, the way people are shopping, traveling, living, consuming information, and working as well. So the changes and the adjustments to artificial intelligence will be incremental changes, step by step, and with the understanding of what will be useful, again, based on major trends and patterns in the market, what will not be useful.
One of the big food groups right now, and the items that, because you mentioned retail and real estate being the comeback kid, is what people are really good with or are looking at is the office sector and what to do. Because, you know, you mentioned the occupancy rates, but even with, loans on commercial real estate buildings and leases that are coming up. And I mean, there's a lot to the office. And I know I'm very optimistic that something creative is going to come about. And I know there's been a lot of talk about conversions from office to residential, but I know that's way more challenging than people think. There's a lot that goes into that. Do you see anything out there, or do you have any opinion on office and how that may bounce back, or any creative solutions for office? Has anything come across your desk that is appealing?
It's a great question. When you look at office today, you have to wonder, what is the office going to look at tomorrow? And there are a lot of misconceptions when you look at the state of the office today. You may say, well, what do I mean by that? Right now, across the country, the best buildings are doing very well. Yeah. There is a flight to quality. There's a flight to premier office buildings. And when you say premier, we're talking Class A office buildings. Now, the challenge is with the Class B and Class C office buildings. These were the buildings, for the most part, that were built in the 70s and in the 80s. Class A office buildings, for the most part, right now, are dealing with vacancy rates that are just not as challenging as Class B and Class C office buildings. And so when you look at the issue of the office, it's actually with the work from home transition that is taking place. The situation of the office is really an American phenomenon. All right. Again, the best buildings, the best offices are doing fairly well. When you look at the issue of vacancies in Class A office buildings, even in, for example, Hamburg, Germany, the vacancy rate for Class A office buildings is 2%. In Seoul, Korea, the vacancy rate for Class A office buildings is 1%. In Tokyo, the vacancy rate for Class A office buildings is 4%. So again, when we look at the work from home, the situation, that is something that is being, for the most part, concentrated in the United States. When you look at the issue of conversions, here is something that's important to keep in mind. It is difficult to transition certain office buildings for housing because many of these buildings, they don't have showers on every floor. They have too many elevators. The window situation is very challenging. The floor plate situation is challenging. It's more realistic to see some of these conversion opportunities to see them be realized in with the Class B and C buildings. CBRE did a study which focused on the conversions from 2016 to 2022, I believe, and the average number of conversions each year was 42. In 2023, it was 100. And for these conversions, half of them were converted to multi-family residential, another 18% with mixed use, I believe almost another 20% focused on life science, medical center, medical office building. The conversion focus that we're seeing today, it is doable. It won't be able to be accomplished without the support of public-private partnerships, the adjusting of zoning laws that are in place in certain cities, while at the same time, because of the need for affordable and workforce housing, conversions are something that will definitely be seen as an option going forward.
So one of the things when you mentioned the public-private and how everything is working together, right? Because everybody, there's a need, there's a product, there's things that need to be worked out together. Are you seeing a lot of this conversation moving forward and anyone doing this successfully? Because I know these things are happening.
Yes.
But I'm saying, is there anybody showing the way of how it's going to be
2023, 100 conversions of office buildings were taking place. I believe when you look at this situation, there was a transition within the office that was happening prior to that pandemic, where you had a greater reliance on sub-headquarters with a focus on not just the cities, the major cities, but also some of the medium level metropolitan areas, so to speak, and greater investments in certain suburbs and expert communities where you can have folks working where they don't have the tremendously long commutes. The average commute for an American worker is 72 minutes a day, and you add that up and you stack it over time. That's a lot of time spent on the train and spent in a car. Some people like it, but some it's not. To IME. Looking at this issue, it's important to look at it, to look back historically, where we saw a transition in the late 60s, early 70s, with the rise of fax machines, the rise of highways, the rise of cheaper long-distance calls. What happened? You had people moving from the cities to the suburbs, and you had offices moving from the cities to the suburbs as well. So that was a real transition for the cities, some in which were really impacted, and you see some of the effects of that today. But there were also other cities that made transition and adjustments through public-private partnerships to see how they could thrive in what was a transitioning economy. Our economy and society is transitioning very well. Much was accelerated during the pandemic. The challenge will be, again, how many of these office buildings will actually have the potential to actually be converted? When you look at the cost of capital, is it for some just better or more cost effective to actually knock down the entire building and build it anew? And through public-private partnerships, I believe greater solutions and even ideas will come together.
Yeah, that's one thing. The creative solutions that come from collaboration is something that needs to be talked about more. And I know sometimes people think it's just talk and, you know, people just having these things, but that's really where the creative solutions come out and how things can change for the better. When it comes to AI, just in general, we talked about it kind of globally there. Are there any specific AI tools or platforms that you find to be most effective or most interesting? I know ChatGPT is the big name and Google has theirs, but is there anything that you see as it relates specifically to real estate?
Sure. It's very interesting right now, and this is something that I believe is really not discussed a lot, but today, through the use of AI, that technology, without having to scan anyone's identification, without having to scan anyone's driver's license, artificial intelligence can estimate a person's gender, income level, spending habits, simply by analyzing a person's shoes as they walk into a space or a store or a building. Voice recognition is going to be the major gesture through which customers interact with their software in the future. And when you look at that awesome power, the awesome power of artificial intelligence, this is really going to impact people's lives going into the future. There'll be real, genuine discussion about privacy, data. We mentioned what could be utilized through the use of AI. Who owns that data? Who has access to that data? And these are questions that are going to have to be discussed or asked and discussed, and hopefully reasonable solutions will emerge. But to answer your question specifically, yes, when you look at the positive impact that AI will have on voice recognition software and predictive analytics, that to me right now is the most exciting, and that's what I'm tracking most.
Okay. You know, there's a company that I saw actually a few years ago called Placer.ai. And that was one of the companies where I saw, I was like, oh, because they do, you know, the tracking of people in mostly retail centers at the time. I'm sure they've expanded, but that was their focus. And it was about track, like what people were listening to, their spending habits. Isn't that, I didn't get it. I didn't believe it was as granular as the shoes they were wearing. But they had so much data that they knew, like, where you were, who you were, what your favorite song that you listened to is. So, and they can reverse engineer, from my understanding, they can reverse engineer and sell to people, like, you should play this type of music at this center in this area because that's what people like that spend this money on that product. I don't know. It's just amazing about how all this can be used for better or worse. But I mean, it's all power. It's all something that's moving everything forward.
Definitely. And you look what's happening within the market, right? You see companies leaning heavily on artificial intelligence cope with the challenge and the priority of forecasting demand and optimizing their supply chains. And that is the crucial question, right? How is artificial intelligence being used by companies and firms to end cost savings while at the same time forecast demand? And that's not seen as a very sexy issue per se, but it definitely is pertinent to a company, to a company's bottom line.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I see way artificial intelligence from the top to the bottom, when it comes to actually doing pro formas, budgeting, finance evaluation, you know, it can do the top line assistance with that, to even on the management side and property management, sending letters, sending effective form letters to tenants and vendors, to doing that, you know, and for everything else, scanning for who's on the property and, you know, through the video, through voice recognition for who's saying what, how they're saying it around the property. I just, when I think of artificial intelligence in real estate, I just think it's going to be from soup to nuts. It's going to be top to bottom. It's going to impact every single aspect of real estate, you know, from the lending evaluation, from the finance side, the management, lease, everything. I foresee this being having a huge impact. So that's one thing. I'm really happy that we're having this discussion, because you can see it from such a high level, but you also understand the nuance and the details of how it impacts all the different food groups.
And what I share with people all the time when they ask me about artificial intelligence and how will it impact the different subsectors in real estate, I say, look, there will always be opportunity and necessity. How grocery anchored retail, warehouses, the basic necessities of life, the things we can't leave it without: food, shelter, your grocery deliveries. So it's always important to ask these questions: how will artificial intelligence impact these different subsectors? And again, it goes back to, what are the big things that impact the way people live and people work? What are the macro trends? What are the patterns and changes in the market? And I believe that's what it's crucial for people to look at and to understand which areas will be impacted the most. And also, which assets are resilient and which assets are going to thrive in this new economy.
And with that, you know, even doing all that and figuring out that, you can use artificial intelligence to even help you with the evaluation of how they will be impacted. So it's
for sure. Institutional real estate capital is the biggest asset class in the world. Real estate is the second biggest asset class in the world. What's happening with real estate, because it's cyclical, that's a reflection of economies, which are also cyclical. And real estate is always tied to what's going on in the overall economy. So now we live in a situation where artificial intelligence will just be part of the real estate economy, and there will be way more impacts in the future than today, obviously. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see all these changes. And part of the magic of being successful in the real estate business is knowing which sub asset classes to be in. You know, the success is usually made in the variations. Success is usually achieved with an understanding of the variations of real estate, as opposed to the generalizations within real estate, identifying those subsectors that will be most impacted by artificial intelligence. Some of the ones that we discussed earlier, I believe, is going to be where folks will be successful in its impacts.
You know what, that's a great point. And one of the things that I noticed a few years ago, when I have some colleagues, some friends who got really deep into self-storage, And also data centers. It's exactly what you mentioned before of those specialized, those subsectors and where you see the capital flowing and the moving to these specific asset types and class, but more so the types, and how that resonates and how that harmonizes with the rest of the industries and what's going on a macro level. That's really important.
For sure. In addition to those subsectors, student housing is a really important subsector. In the United Kingdom today, there are 6 times more student. Let me take a step back because I'm just going back. This is an important point. Yes, in the UK today, there are 6 times more student demand than there are housing beds for them. Again, 6 times more student demand in the United Kingdom than there are housing beds for them. Obviously, investors see student housing as a long-term opportunity. The goal will be to identify where developers and owners are going to identify ways in which to provide more supply to meet the demand. The student housing subsector is one where people are paying more attention to because there are really some interesting things going on there. And especially another subsector that is technology dependent in many ways. So we're going to see artificial intelligence and AI definitely impact on that subsector going forward as well. In addition to the ones that you mentioned, where so much of that activity, whether it comes to the search, the paying of rents, a lot of that is done via your mobile phone, tablet. So it's all intersecting with technology for sure.
Yeah, you know, and you were spot on about the student housing, and I can speak locally here for me in San Diego, in La Jolla, UCSD is, they're putting up so much student housing. The buildings that went up over the past 5 to 10 years, it's remarkable. So they've been working on this for a while. So I know you mentioned some UK stats, but they're happening in San Diego as well. They're putting their foot forward. So, hey, listen, I want to make sure that before we go, and I hopefully this is one of many more conversations that we have on this topic, because both are near and dear to my heart. Like, I love technology. I'm extremely interested in AI, and you know, I've been in real estate for almost 2 decades now. So let's make sure to keep this conversation going. But before we head out of here, I just want to give you the platform. Is there anything else that you want to add to be close on?
Sure. I would say the most important thing to be aware of is to truly understand the definition. The most important thing to truly be aware of is to understand the definition of artificial intelligence. And that is the science of making machines that act and think like humans. Let me take that back. It's very important to understand the definition. And the definition of artificial intelligence is the science of making machines that think like humans. But it's also very important to understand that artificial intelligence can never replace ingenuity and the creativity that humans possess. Yes, artificial intelligence, and we've seen it already, will impact music and will impact movies, especially when we look at stage design and costume design and so forth. But at the end of the day, artificial intelligence will not replace human creativity. Yes, it will impact, again, songs, but it will not be able to duplicate the human creativity that we see in the design of fashion, the design, music, the creation of. And that's something that through all the hype, we should not lose sight of.
That's a great point. I think AI, sometimes when I see like the music, and I'm saying it takes the place of, but it can do a pretty good replication of some of the things that I've seen. Yeah, so it's fun to watch and be a part of. What you started with, beginning of people have a fear about taking their jobs and how it's going to impact their life. You know, this is one of those things. This is life, and we go through challenges, and you know, you just do the best with whatever you have, and hopefully it's we can use AI as a tool and not as much as a weapon. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
At the end of the day, when you look at a great technology, you have to ask yourself, and this is going back since the discovery of fire, you have to ask yourself, what would an angel do with this technology? What would a demon do with this technology? And you just have to be cognizant of both sides. We're talking about the movie and the entertainment industry. AI will have a tremendous impact on labor and workers within those industries. And that's why you've seen a lot of discussions and a gliding of ideas and different perspectives on how AI will impact labor in many different sectors across the economy. And a lot of those conversations are happening today. A lot of them are uncomfortable, but they have to be had. When you look at the impact of artificial intelligence, we're seeing a reshuffling today. While at the same time, there is a degree of hype. I think the best investors and the best analysts are looking at, through all the hype, what will be here 5, 10, 15 years from now and what won't.
Yeah, I love that. And it's similar to the expression, finding the signal through the noise. And it's what has staying power versus what is just a fad or trend or what's going to fall off. So yeah, that's a great point.
Right.
It's a great point. Well, there we are, Mr. John Jones. Thank you so much for your time today. And we'll have this session again.
Wonderful. Thank you for the discussion. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me. Really, really appreciate the time too. We'll talk to you next.